The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
Hi. I wasn't singing along. I'm Karen, the Scarlet Cougar.
And I'm Jeff, X-Force 11.
And we are Gotham Undercover. Welcome to another episode. We are part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover.
That's correct. This is episode 18 of season 2, entitled Pinewood.
That's right.
And it was written by Robert Hull, who's done work on Once Upon a Time, Alcatraz, and Gossip Girl, and Megan Mostyn Brown, who's regular writer here. Mm-hmm. And it was directed by John Stevens, who's done work on Gossip Girl, The OC, and Gilmore Girls.
Probably pulled in by Robert Hull, I'm guessing.
I would guess so. Considering the two worked well together, and this episode definitely worked well.
Yeah,
with the balance that it had. So,
I agree.
Yeah.
It hummed right along, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's give our ratings right up front.
I gave it 9 dino claws.
Very nice. Ah, click, click, click. It was like those velociraptors, right?
Yeah.
Click, click. She only had one, mm-hmm. but still... It was wicked. I gave it 8 bent pizza boxes. Poor Harvey. Yeah, it was a good episode. I might have given it a little bit more, but I would have liked to see a slight bit more on the Bruce front. Bruce Lucius sort of, you know, gathering evidence down in the Batcave.
Right.
A lot of that was intertwined with the other part of that story, with the actual, like, James storyline. And mm-hmm. Having a little more forward. I mean, all he did is figure out that Hugo Strange was involved, which is a big deal. But, you know, I don't know. I just don't think it moved forward enough for me.
Well, it was a good start. He's building... Team Wayne. It's not yet Team Batman, so
right.
I guess we got to call it Team Wayne, not
right.
to be confused with Team Wayne versus Team Troy, some
right.
of our fellow podcasters
right.
on the network. But
right.
he's building that team, and he's making those steps
mm-hmm.
moving forward, and a lot of it is in his head and thinking, and that's where he is, because his strength is not yet out in the field fully. And the
right.
other part of Team Wayne being Jim is out in the field, and he
right.
is very action packed.
Right.
So.
And I felt like his story was kind of overshadowed by James Gordon's story. So that's kind of where I am. I'm so excited by Bruce's storyline right now. And I was like, more Bruce.
Well, so. I agree. I think it was a contrast between the two storylines, where Jim's was very action oriented and he was pushing away from emotions and really relationships. And you had that contrasted by Bruce, who is all about relationships and finding connections.
Right.
So they were a good contrast. But yeah, I agree. It just left you wanting more. Because of how interesting it is.
Right.
I just came away with so many questions
yeah.
about what we discovered. So
right.
it was just really good. And that's
yeah.
why I had it at a 9, is because of some of the questions
the
it left. And then
yeah.
the relationship side of Bruce's storyline.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Gotta agree. It was a great episode.
Mm-hmm.
So my storyline titles. I hope they're good. Pinewood Farms Remembers is the first one. The second one is Single Furred Female, as in single white female. And then Johnny Demonic. For Azrael, of course. Mm-hmm. So Pinewood Farms, of course, that is a playoff of Pepperidge Farms, remember? Yeah. Pinewood Farms is, I'm guessing that that's why the Wayne Industries tie is to Indian Hill, because Indian Hill is actually the ramp up of Pinewood Farms.
Right. Pinewood Farms is 1.0 and Indian Hill, as far as we can tell, is 2.0.
Right.
Yeah, it's they've escalated and taken it to the next level of what they're doing. It was very interesting to hear Hugo talk about Karen and how that she was the beginning, and he had kind of this nostalgic longing to get her back to continue the work, because he has taken it to all new levels mm-hmm. in Indian Hill.
He certainly has.
You know, it's, you know, after those 10 years. Now, it is just so interesting because Fox brings up that Lucius, he brings up that, you know, all these Black Op Wayne projects had bland names. And mm-hmm. so we have Pinewood Farms, and here it is, just this monstrous stuff that's going on, just the really, maybe the real beginning of Hugo becoming who he was and being set free. Thomas Wayne had started this project to do good. It was still a Black Ops, but he had good intentions for it. And who knows where Hugo was with that. He may have started off and just gotten power happy and just started corrupting it. And, you know, he got shut down by Thomas, and all of his experiments either died or got spirited away. And so he had to start anew. Mm-hmm. And we still don't know the ties behind of how that got moved from there to Indian Hill or where it was in between.
Right.
And so there's a lot of good stuff to cover, but it's because Thomas discovered that things were happening again that he got killed.
Right.
And it's just intriguing to me to think about, and this may be a season three thing. I still think that Hugo is a tool of the bigger power. He's being used by somebody else. He's been set free to do his stuff, but he's not the end all be all boss. Mm. And you know, they may go after him now that they know that he ordered the hit, but I just don't think that he's the final one on the food chain. I don't think he's the big fish. So, but I, like
don't
I said,
don't say that word in this podcast.
I'm sorry.
It's
but
okay.
The top of the food chain. There.
Okay.
So,
we don't say the F word here.
Right.
The F word on the other podcast is finale. Yeah. The F word here is fish.
So, like I said, I think that will happen in maybe season three, that we're going to see who's beyond him.
Right.
But it was so good, so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved seeing that Hugo Strange actually had ties to the Wayne family mm-hmm. and that it shows the diversity between the two, that Thomas Wayne started this foundation in order to help people, and Hugo took that power mm-hmm. and made it into something perverse, twisted it.
Right.
And mm-hmm. that's where they parted, and it led to Thomas and Martha's death. Mm-hmm. And now Bruce is going to find out about this, and in turn, it's going to dovetail into finding out about many other things.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They're tying it back into the main storyline, which will bring Bruce into Batman and his villains.
Right. And I love the way that they have weaved these things together, and they've done it so well this season. The little hints all through the beginning about Indian Hill, and just how well that they have woven stuff together, the intelligence that they have there.
Right. The hint that it was part of Wayne Industries.
Right.
And, you know, leading it to him finding out, and then it being woven into Arkham Asylum, which, as we know, is going to be a big thing to Batman. Him putting people in Arkham Asylum instead of killing them. So the fact that Bruce Wayne will be linked to Arkham Asylum and it being part of Wayne Industries, I mean, that's...
Oh, it's like father, like son.
Right. I mean, it's just perfect little puzzle, right?
Right, exactly. You know, the mirroring there. And I love the insight that we got into Thomas Wayne through the storyline of how his thinking of wanting things for good and then taking a stand to stand up when things got corrupted and, you know, breaking ties. But he still, like Bruce does, felt responsible, and he looked after those people. And not just, okay, I'm going to give you hush money and get you out of the way, but, you know, I think Karen's just an example of one of the people he had relationships with. And it's like, I feel sorry for Bruce because he was felt betrayed because of his father's being betrayed by Hugo, somebody he trusted. But also, I feel like he lost basically a sister in spirit.
Right.
Because his dad had looked after Karen and brought her birthday gifts and was there for her. And the way that she talked to Bruce and said that, you know, his dad would be proud of the man he had become, it just made it so much harder on him because of those family ties and seeing how things and relationships can get trusted and, you know, being hurt when people are lost. But it was so good. So much of a character study of Thomas without him even being in the episode, and then that being mirrored in Bruce.
Right. And it's almost like we get to see that Bruce is seeing a foreshadowing of his flaws versus Karen's flaws. I mean, Karen wears her flaws on the outside, and Bruce is going to wear all his scars and flaws on the inside.
Right.
And, you know, he's going to get many, many more scars and flaws. He's going to feel much more damaged than Karen by the time he becomes Batman. And he's not going to have that father figure to give him all that love and attention. So Karen had it much better than he did.
Oh, yeah.
So I think he's seeing in her, he's almost like jealous of her that he is not going to have that.
Sure. And
going forward.
And he doesn't even, because of the events in the episode, he doesn't even have her as a resource to draw on to learn more of his father's character.
Right.
So it's just so hard. But it's so well done the way they did
it. I agree. And they could have leaned on each other, which I think he was hoping for.
Sure.
They could have been kindred spirits together, especially after losing Selina last episode.
Oh, yeah.
He could have had someone to identify with.
Right,
that
because
could have been in on everything.
Right, she was already in on everything, and she, because she was in on everything, and because of what happened to her, she's a little more able to defend herself. Right. And so, yeah, it was just so telling, and I loved how when they go to confront her for the first time, Alfred's been attacked. And Bruce has picked up the gun, and he puts down the gun and starts talking to her, drawing her out of the darkness. And just seeing that character of, okay, I'm not going to use a gun. Right. I'm going to use my words.
Right.
I'm going to use non-lethal tools. Right. And just
so Batman,
see,
right?
Yeah, to see those that thing building in him and just his work ethic too. He had been working on the computer as soon as it was up, and you know, Lucius was talking about all the encryption that needed to be to run through to get things decrypted, and he was like, well, I can get in the calendar and it gets everything. But just how diligent, and Alfred's, you know, trying to get him to eat something and take a break, do right. something. And he's just bound and determined. So, so good.
I know. I loved all that insight into Bruce and his father, and also some future foreshadowing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That was really good stuff. And then it being fitted into James's storyline was also very good.
Mm-hmm.
I love how James Gordon is standing up and really joining in that fight
for
Bruce. That is fantastic. He gets that picture of the lady,
mm-hmm.
the mistress from Doctor
yeah.
Who.
Oh.
She is fantastic. And after the big cliffhanger from last week where Barbara shows up at his doorway.
Well, it's actually Bullock's apartment.
Right. Well, at the doorway where he
is. Well, and so that was my question.
How did she know?
Well, right.
She must be following him.
Well, that, or, I mean, she knows, she, you know, could probably see that he wasn't at Lee's, mm-hmm. and she's going to know that who's his partner. So, I mean, it wouldn't take too much. But she's, you know, she's on the ball, but we see that her agenda is just totally different from what Jim's expecting.
Right. She is an unknown quantity in my eyes. I can't feel her out at all, and especially after the end of the episode where we see where she ends up.
Yeah, because... And that, once again, good writing, good acting, because we see how she acted and her conversation with Jim at the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
We see her start to, I would say, get into the Stabby Babs character.
Right.
As she's talking to him before she goes into the club.
Right.
And then she's full on. But once she's out the door, she's back to that, you know, where she was at the apartment. And it's just so back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just subtle of some of the changes, but the writing, and it left you questioning, who's the real one? And does she even know who the real one is? Because she seems very genuine of wanting some closure with Jim, wanting to, she knows that she can't make full reprimands, but at least he can look at her in a way that is not reproachful.
Right.
And that's what she really and truly needs. And Jim's trying to tell her that she has to be her own person,
mm-hmm.
that he can't give her what she needs, but she's not ready to hear that.
No, not at all.
Mm.
And he does make it very clear to her, as clear as he can.
Mm-hmm.
There's no going back to what we had. None.
Right.
That is not going to happen. And you know, it's great that you want to help me, but I cannot trust your motives, and I just cannot trust you at all. I'm glad you got me this info. I can't say thanks to you because I don't know what your motives are.
Mm-hmm.
But bye. And he's off. And I understand 100% where he's coming from. I think it's the right move. Don't lead her on with a thank you and a wave
exactly.
and a hug, because mm-hmm. that is her neediness. She's going to buy into that and know that she's got him. And even if that doesn't happen, that is definitely one of her triggers from before. Mm-hmm. Where once she gets a little tiny taste of that acceptance, she just wants more and more and more and more. And so he can't give her even an inch of it.
Right.
He can't show any gratitude. He can't give her any latitude, neither.
Yeah.
So he doesn't. And good for him, I say, because it won't get him anywhere.
Yeah, and see, that's the dangerous thing, though, is she is not to the point where she can stand on her own.
Right.
She needs somebody to give her the validation.
Right. Yeah, and but that's, it that's can't be dangerous. Him is what the issue is.
I know. Yeah. And I totally agree.
Yeah, but then you don't also want her to go the other way, which is what she does. And see, that's where Hugo Strange plays his cards.
Right.
That's where exactly. He rolls the dice. And he says, well, if she goes one way, then good for me. If she goes the other way, then good for me.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't care which way it turns out. And he is this master manipulator with all of this. He mm-hmm. doesn't care which way it goes.
Right. And the interesting thing is she's having a conversation in Club Artemis. And I thought that was an interesting title to the club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all I could think about was Green Arrow's female sidekick.
Right.
But she's having this conversation with the lady in the club, and she is the fact that the conversation that she has and how she draws the lady in is telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She is not lying about what she's saying. Yes,
no.
I believe that in Arkham, she played a role so she could get out.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she wasn't lying about having money and being famous. She wasn't lying about having Jim. And because she was telling the truth, the lady fell for the hook, because she, after all these years and employing all these people, she can read people.
Right.
And she saw what Barbara was saying was true. And fell for that hook. And that's what made it so much more interesting when Barbara gets all the information out of the lady that Jim wants, and then turns right around and tases the lady and the bouncer.
Right, exactly.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, she is pretty good at that.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
She knows exactly how to toe that line. She knows how to read people just as well, I think.
Well, and I think she's picked up stuff from Tabitha in their time together as well, too.
Now, you know, Artemis, she's the Greek goddess that is the equivalent to Diana. And she's the goddess of chastity and virginity, which I think is hilarious. But also the hunt and the moon and all that stuff.
Right,
so,
yeah.
But chastity and virginity, that's hilarious. I'm not going to say anymore. They're criminals. So to have that be chastity, it's pretty funny. That scene was great where he was tied up and they were, getting the information for him, but the lady had no idea that she was being played. And mm-hmm. I thought for sure that Barbara was playing him.
Oh, yeah.
Until that happened. And so I had no idea what to do with her in this episode. No idea.
Well, and the thing is, on my first watch, I missed it. When right before she enters, she tells Jim that I can get the information, but you're going to have to lose.
Right.
And I didn't really catch that. And I don't think he did either.
Yeah, so, I didn't either. I mean, I.
So he's going to have to lose, meaning getting caught.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't understand what she meant the first time through. I mean, even if I heard it, right. which I probably did, but just kind of brushed it off because I wouldn't have understood what she meant.
Right.
And then once I saw it, when I saw it the second time, I went, oh, well, that's what she meant. That, you know, he's going to have to get caught. And I like when he says, well, how'd you know I was going to go in? And she gives that look like, really?
Exactly. And she lays down the law. She says that you've got to solve this case. And if you solve this case, then maybe, just maybe, you know, you'll have some peace and some freedom.
Right.
She just, she knows. Yeah, she knows who he is.
Right.
Yeah.
But again, that does not mean that he's going to give her any latitude. And it also drives her the other direction. And she ends up in Tabitha's arms and under the care of Tabitha and Mr. Gilzine.
Yeah.
And boy, that might come back to bite her in the end.
Well, I like the kind of the scene of domesticity.
Yeah, right.
Can't say that word.
Domesticity.
But,
yeah.
You know,
he's bringing her home.
Butch is coming in late, and he's bringing her favorite saltwater taffy.
Right.
And, you know, but I just, she's like, Barbara's come home.
Yeah.
And
I know, right.
And my question is, was that out-and-out rejection all that it's going to take to take her to the next level for Hugo's experiment, or will it be something else with Butch and Tabitha? I don't know. And that's the fun part, because that's more stuff that we get to see.
Right.
Yeah, we don't know if it's going to be a one seminal instance like it was with Penguin.
Right.
Or if it's going to be this rejection and other things going on. And that's, oh yeah.
Is she playing them? Is she, you know, what is she doing? We don't know. It's hard to tell with her.
She's running to comfort. And the thing about it is, Penguin did the same thing. After he got out, he was running to the places and the people where he found comfort, and he wasn't getting anything from any of them until he got to his dad. And she has gone immediately to Jim, and she's tried to win back his graces. She's gotten rejected. Now she's run back to Tabitha, and is she still playing? That's the thing I love, because we don't know. It's such good writing that we want to see what's next.
Right.
So.
Right. I am on the fence. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with her. So and there's still this whole thing in my head of, how does Barbara Gordon get born?
Well,
isn't there something in your head that just wants to know?
Well, but the thing about it is I take this season of Barbara and compare it to last season, and what a difference the character is.
Oh, huge difference.
There was no character. She was a shell,
nothing.
A stereotype, and a plot device.
Yeah, you could have just deleted her.
Right.
And it wouldn't have mattered.
But she is so complex this season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like there has been huge amounts of plot development compared to others.
Mm-hmm.
But we know her character. We're starting to see it. But her character is an unknown.
Right.
And we just don't know where it's going to end up. And that's just, it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Exciting that the writers can take it from one spot in season one to just so totally different in such a good way in season two.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was nothing in season one, and just, she's so intriguing. And I think about it for a half hour after the episode ends is, what is she doing? Mm-hmm. Where is she going from here? So it's amazing that the changes that this character has gone through, and I cannot wait to see where it goes next.
Exactly.
What kind of danger is James in? Because there could be a lot of ways that can go. What kind of danger is Lee in when they do hook back up again?
Right.
So, yeah, some craziness is going to ensue at some point. So now on to Johnny Demonic. And also let's add in Mr. Freeze as well.
Oh, yeah.
Who has gotten his suit so he can go out into the world. He was a little bit angsty in this episode. He didn't like being cooped up. When Mr. and Mrs. Captain Cold came into the room with their hoodies on, right? They had their little hoodies on. I thought that was funny. They had, it looked like Captain Cold hoodies, didn't it?
Yeah, and I loved, you know, you could even see like the frost starting to form on Peabody's glasses.
Right. Exactly. And they said, hey, we got good news for you.
Yeah. Would you like to take a field trip?
Yeah. And he's already had his little tantrum knocking everything off of his table.
Yeah.
He is just unhappy, an unhappy camper. And so they say, well, let's go camping. And they get him his little suit and he is ready to go. And he foils the escape plot, which is heartbreaking. Heartbreaking.
It is. And we had, I know he has to be in the Batman lore. But we had Plot Device come over to Gotham this week.
We sure did.
I'm sitting there and I'm saying, you've got two trained people shooting at him. He doesn't have a helmet on.
Right.
And they're aiming center mass.
Right.
Yes, I know he's got to live on, but
I know.
It's like, put a helmet on him so at least, you know, at least you can say, okay, he was in full armor, you know, but
right.
Yeah, I loved he iced the ramp.
Yep.
And oh, he's sitting there waiting for them to come out. And what do we see on the bypass? Joker graffiti.
Yep.
The two eyes, the cult of Joker sitting there reminding you, yes, it's
he's still around.
But Freeze was just nonstop, and it was so heartbreaking when Kara basically sacrifices herself.
Yeah.
You see how far Freeze has come, where, yes, he was killing people to save his wife, but he was just literally stone cold.
Right.
Froze her, cracked her into pieces,
right.
Just gone. And how heartbreaking. You know, I love it. The audio drops out.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce is yelling, no. I'm having flashbacks to Lord of the Rings with Frodo.
Right.
But he's getting pulled away. The ice grenade gets tossed. It was just so heartbreaking.
Yeah. And that was his mission. Kill Karen and get out. Because we can't have you out there very long. Just kill Karen and get out. And that's what he did.
But he did provide info to Hugo about the fact that Bruce is working with Jim. So, and that's another cool thing about Hugo. He says things are about to get interesting for us because, you know, Bruce now knows.
Right.
So he's smart and he's looking at this as a challenge, and that line has double meaning because then we get the Indian Hill alarm going off.
Right.
And
right, and he's seeing someone else whose body is modified.
Oh yeah.
So is he going to connect that with Hugo Strange as well? I mean, he's going to see people whose bodies are being changed.
Mhm.
So hopefully he will start to connect some of that back to Hugo Strange.
Right. I mean, they've made the tie from Pinewood to Arkham with Hugo.
Right.
But they really don't know about Indian Hill.
Right.
but they, you know, they still don't know the connection there. They don't know that it exists. They know that, you know, basically Hugo has unleashed Freeze, but they don't know the full story.
Right.
And it's like, ooh.
So hopefully they'll see that this guy has come. First of all, he was dead. And now he's back and he's modified. So he's actually kind of this supervillain who his body is now a weapon. And he has this suit that helps him kind of contain, I mean, his hair and his eyes and all this other stuff. So he's resurrected, but he's changed. His body's changed.
Oh, yeah.
And he's killed someone that Hugo obviously wants dead. So now they're, hopefully they can put two and two together and say, well, Hugo has sent this guy. So Hugo must still be continuing these experiments, but it's not in Arkham. So where is he doing it?
Right. And that's a push to take it back to Lucius and the computer of trying to get those files decrypted, because we don't know how much Thomas knew and found out, but it would give him a leg up rather than Lucius trying to dig behind the scenes at Wayne Enterprises, because he might run into some big trouble there.
Right. Yeah, hopefully they can connect and hack and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know how ambiguous they're going to be with how far they can hack, right? Yeah. Because of the time nebulousness of the show. But hopefully they can hack a little bit.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then, of course, we got...
Patient 44.
Yeah. Who... Now... I'm kind of sad that they give away so much in the previews, but the previews are so awesome that I'm not.
Yes.
We know that it's Galavan, and we knew going into this episode that it was Galavan, but they made it like we didn't know that it's, you know, 44, patient 44. And we also knew that he's going to turn into Azrael because of the previews for next week's episode.
Oh, yeah.
But again, they make it exciting. So... Well,
oh, so
right.
He comes alive 12 hours ahead of schedule.
Early. Yeah.
Yeah. And surprising Hugo, and that's a big thing.
Right.
But he comes alive and he's just basically trashed all the attendants.
Yeah.
And he's having this conversation basically with his sister. You know, we get Holy City and what next, and Azrael. And so, oh, just so good. And the look in his eyes and how he ended that one orderly, it was just, ooh, so intense.
I know. And I'm kind of wondering which way they're going with him. Now, they're making him a villain. Which is fine. And in one of our feedbacks, someone is asking us, and we'll get to the feedback later, but I want to kind of talk about it here.
Yeah.
Someone's asking him, isn't he a good guy? And yes, but he didn't start out as a good guy. He is a tool of the Order of Saint Dumas at the beginning. He is kind of made into this assassin for the Order of Saint Dumas. And part of the secret society, quote unquote, brainwashed into this thing. So it definitely is part of the purview of Hugo Strange, where he uses this psychological sort of, I don't know, conditioning like he has been doing. Although it, to me, it looks like what's happening is that he has been inhabited by some sort of force. Because I think... And he, this is just my theory, that he has been possessed. And that's why he is waking up early. That somehow he has been possessed by something.
That and the strength that he has.
Right.
I mean, I totally agree. I think it's that perfect storm of what Hugo has been experimenting on him and the background that Galavan was brought up in,
right?
And how
religious
open,
cult sort of thing, right?
And how open. So you have this
I'm doing air quotes, guys, yeah, just so you know.
This vessel that has been given back life and is totally open to this demonic entity, right, to take over and use everything in Galavan's memories to his advantage.
Right.
And it's just, it's scary.
So that's what I think is happening, is they're pulling from the Azrael mythos.
Right.
But they're changing it up slightly to make it into this kind of demonic inhabitation of, mm-hmm, his body. And there might be part of him in there as well. Like, perhaps he was on his way to hell or in purgatory, headed towards hell. And that allowed a demonic presence to get near him. And since he was being resurrected, that he was getting pulled back. And that, mm-hmm, pulled not only him, but this presence along with it. And so,
right,
when he got close to being resurrected, it just pulled him completely into our world.
Right. And I think the dialogue that we're hearing is Galavan, because he talks about, he makes it sound like Azrael is somebody different than him. But I agree that I think that entity is there, and what's going to happen from just what little we saw in the promo is, my thinking is, Hugo is going to kind of convince Galvan that he is that Azrael, and then that opens a door even further for Azrael the demon to take over.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thoughts, but it's just going to be interesting to see how they play it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly. I have a feeling that's kind of where they're headed with it. Mm-hmm. And so that would make him evil.
Right.
And definitely a bad guy. Now, whether they're going to head him towards that shadow of the bat kind of Azrael, where he ends up becoming good, I highly doubt it.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's just way too early.
Yeah. We don't have Batman yet.
And I think, you know, they could, once again, where we talk about where Gotham is producing archetypes, and, you know, we haven't seen the full-fledged Joker yet, but we've seen, you know, a picture of it. We haven't seen the full-fledged Scarecrow yet.
Right.
So somebody down the road can, you know, pick up the idea and then, you know, in the Batman era, take on that mantle in more traditional comic form.
Right.
But,
part of one of the incarnations of Azrael is where he kind of goes nuts after all this assassin stuff comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then after being in Arkham Asylum for a little bit, Batman is guilty for putting him in there and goes back and helps him rehabilitate himself. And that's when he becomes good.
Right.
So they could always do that as well. Put him, mm-hmm, in Arkham and kind of leave him there and, you know, just have him languish.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we might never see him again, but that would definitely fall in, yeah, line with Azrael's character.
Sure. Sure.
So that, you know, they're going in a different direction, but it's not off base so much from Azrael in the comics.
Yeah.
And he certainly looks like Azrael next week, with the pointed ears and face. And, oh, man. could they have made him up any better?
Ooh.
Yeah. They do such a good job on this show. The guy who plays Freeze looks like Freeze. The guy who plays Hugo plays Hugo. I mean, yeah. I know their names. I'm just saying they're crazy good with this, with the casting,
yeah,
and the. And how did they know that this guy was going to make a good Azrael when they cast him a year and a half ago to be Galavan?
Well, and see, that's the thing. I think, and, you know, I can't say any different because I hadn't really heard, but I think the writers can kind of see that potential in people and see that it's going to challenge them, but they can walk up to that and live up to that and grow into it.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it was good casting. just really good casting and the quality of how they're doing things and challenging them to grow into these characters that are larger than life. They're not static. They're not just, you know, peeled off the page of the comic book, but they're living entities that grow and change, and that makes it just so much more appealing.
Yeah. So good. Really so good. Mm-hmm. And I'm anticipating giving next week a higher grade because it looks so much better. The action looks incredible from the preview. And I'm hoping that we're going to get more Lucius and a little more deeper into that thing. And maybe a fully formed story between the James Gordon and Bruce Wayne storyline.
Yeah.
Like maybe they're actually going to have a complete merging of their two storylines next week.
Right. Yeah.
So I'd be okay with that. As mm-hmm. long as we don't have that separation of them where one takes away from the other, I think I'd be happy.
Yeah.
It was just that lopsidedness this week, I think, that bothered. I don't know what it was exactly. I couldn't put my finger on it, but there was just something that I was like, what is bothering me about this?
Yeah, and for me, it didn't bother me much, but that's
it's
okay. That's the nice thing, you know, is people looking at things from different circumstances, and you know, we can get a lot out of it. So.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so shall we go to our feedback?
Yes.
All right. My tablet is very slow this week. I'm going to have to upgrade at some point. All right. So the first one is from Chris. And he writes, "Hi, Karen and Jeff." And I say, "Hi." Hi, Chris.
Hey.
"As I was listening to the podcast for Into the Woods, there were things you talked about that I did not remember. I must have dozed off while watching it. This is not a reflection of the episode quality. I loved Dexter and Breaking Bad when they were airing, and on many occasions I had to watch episodes of each sometimes two or three times before I saw everything. The most deceptive phrase in the English language is, 'I'll close my eyes for just a second,' because it's never just a second. Anyway, I went back and rewatched Into the Woods, and I would like to change my rating from 7.5 to an 8.5. Of course, you can change your rating.
Sure.
I'll go with that. Barbara is sounding like the Penguin did when he was released from Arkham, even stating that she's sane, but Hugo didn't give her a certificate. If she follows form, she'll be even crazier than she was when she was sent there inside of three episodes." Yeah, Chris, Jeff and I both kind of concur with that.
Yeah.
That she has that same feel to her.
Yeah.
Back to his feedback. "It's like trying to teach a halibut to put on socks." "I might have to file that away for use in the future." "Everyone should have a whammy drawer." "I fully support the use of Sex Pistols music in this episode, and I hope we get some Ramones at some point too."
Oh yeah, the cover,
it was good.
My Way.
Yeah. Oh. It was really good. "I really like that Bruce's aversion to using guns is already a big part of him." Yeah, we remarked on that too. "I'm not afraid to die if it means doing the right thing." What a very Batman thing to say.
So powerful.
Yeah, it was, right? "Do you think Karen is Gotham's killer croc?" And then he followed up with, "I guess not." Actually, I was kind of thinking she was Grill. Is that the name? I can't remember. It was like a talon she had. And that was a Batgirl villain, ally, whatever. Anyway, that's just me. "So if Hugo betrayed Thomas Wayne, we can see why the adult Bruce trusts very few people." Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
"I'm not overly familiar with Azrael. All I know of him is from the game Arkham Knight, but I always thought he was a good guy. Am I mistaken?" And that's the comment I was referring to earlier.
Yep.
And hopefully I answered that for you. "I give this episode 8 out of 10 revived subject 44s, and this won't change because I was awake the whole time." "Thanks, guys. Chris." Thank you, Chris. Good comments.
Yeah, definitely.
You want to read John's?
Yeah. So John says, "Hello, Gothamites. I gave this episode 8 out of 10 items in the whammy drawer."
I like the whammy drawer, too.
Yeah. "Barbara's character was just dull at the start. She does leave Harvey speechless with a, hey, Harvey, Jim will catch you up.
Not just speechless, but bumbly, a little bumblier.
I do like the scene with the late, her scene with the lady, and I'm thinking, yes, psychotic genius. Until we find out she's doing all this to win back Jim's heart. Question mark? Really? Question mark? Hopefully, spurned by Jim and in Tabitha's arms, we'll see the Barbara we've come to love. Bruce finds out about Karen Jennings, which produces one of my favorite lines. He says, Bruce, I'm going up there with you or without you. Alfred, why am I not surprised? Are you going to eat something on the way? A couple more brief comments to wrap up. Mr. Freeze's suit was an homage to the animated series, I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Aren't we all glad he didn't say chill?
Yes.
Chill.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about Azrael in Gotham.
Me too.
Catch you next time.
Catch you next time, John. Thank you very much. I think he's a first-timer with feedback.
Yeah, I believe so.
Thank you so much, John.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome comments. I loved it. Yeah, that was a good line. Are you going to eat something on the way? Very nice. And we got on Facebook, we got a feedback from Pony Girl Purple. So here it is. I give this episode 8 out of 10 dinosaur hands. Jim has a hard time believing that Barbara was released from Arkham. Harvey was frazzled when he saw Barbara outside of Jim's door. Jim beats up some peeps real bad. Karen, she got claws. She is half dinosaur. Pinewood Farms. Bruce promised that nothing would happen to Karen Jennings. Barbara is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, like Phoenix said. Barbara was faking so she could get the lady to talk and tell Jim it's the philosopher. Sappy with Barbara and Jim. Bruce tells Jim about Pinewood Farms. How much do you need? Bruce Wayne, my quote of the episode. Mr. Freeze is going on a field trip. Fun! The guys break Karen out of the police van, going to Blackgate. Bruce Wayne finds out who he is. Do you think the dog's ears hurt when Bruce screamed? Yeah, I think maybe. He was screaming pretty loud. Barbara fell asleep at Butch's mansion. She's home. Hugo Strange is the philosopher. Galavan is a little cuckoo. He's Azrael. So those are her comments. Yeah. I agree. She is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Definitely.
And I think Hugo Strange is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I think Galavan is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And I think Barbara is too. Everybody is.
Yeah.
I love the scene where Barbara fell asleep at Butch's mansion. Like you said, it's such a domestic little scene with the three crazy people at home, the guy with no hand and his lovely wife and the kid. So yeah, thank you, Pony Girl.
Yeah.
Really liked it.
Definitely.
So good. So how can they get us feedback?
So our feedback is Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Real time.
You can call 304-837-2278. You can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. There you can type out a message, you can attach an audio file, or you can leave an audio message using the SpeakPipe widget. You can catch up with us on Twitter at GothamGSM. And please subscribe to the podcast. Go to goldenspiralmedia.com/iTunes.
That's right. And we're also on Gotham. I'm doing the same thing as you.
Yeah.
We're also on Google Play Music now. So
yeah.
If you use Google Play Music, if you use an Android like me and you want it on the go, you can get it on Google Play Music. So
yeah.
You don't have to use some third party thing on Google. So yeah, I'm very excited.
Very cool.
All of my podcasts are on Google Play Music now.
So nice.
I'm very happy. So no Gotham next week. However, it returns May 2nd, which is what? Is that 2 weeks from now?
Yeah.
Yeah, my calendar is so off. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Strange Discovery will be made in Gotham City on an all-new Gotham, Monday, May 2nd on Fox. Gordon and Bruce question Professor Strange about Project Chimera. which leads Strange to send the newly resurrected Galavan to confront Gordon. Meanwhile, Nygma investigates who Professor Strange is in the all-new Wrath of the Villains Azrael episode of Gotham airing Monday, May 2nd, 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Mm-hmm. Guest cast, B.D. Wong as Hugo Strange, Tonya Pinkins as Ethel Peabody, and Stink Fisher as Hellsinger. I love saying that. That's the only reason I included it. I love his name. He's got the best name ever. I wonder what they called him as a kid. Stinky? What do you think?
I don't know. Depends on the crowd he ran with.
That's true. It did.
Oh, my goodness.
Craziness.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, we want to ask you to help out. Golden Spiral Media has got four podcasts that we would like nominated for the podcast awards. There were just hard choices. We talked about it last week, but all the hosts came together and decided on four podcasts, Blacklist Exposed, Arrow Squad, Stuff I Learned Yesterday, and Triple Cast. And if you go to goldenspiralmedia.com/podcast awards, you'll find all the details about voting. It's really easy. All you have to do is go in, copy the links, and paste. You only have to, in this round, you only have to vote once and you're done. And the voting does end at the end of the month. And so because we're not going to be on until after it's over, please go out and do that if you have not already.
That's right. And just so you know, I've been saying this on all of my podcasts, including other networks. I've been plugging Golden Spiral Media stuff there. We all came together as a team, as a network, and we chose these four podcasts. So we're all on board with these four podcasts. We find that these four podcasts really represent the categories that we picked for them, for our network. So there's no jealousy. There's absolutely no dissent. It was 100% unanimous with these four podcasts. So don't change anything about it. We want these four podcasts to go up. They have the best chance of winning. We think they're the best. They are stellar. Not that we're any slouches, but these four these four podcasts are amazing, and they really go above and beyond. So we really want to say, if you have any inclination to nominate those podcasts, we would love it if you could visit that page, and they'll be in the blog post, right?
Yes, indeed. Okay, so there's a link in the blog post and for it, so it'll be there. And one other thing that's in the blog post, as well as the promo for the next episode, is a link, because the Green Butterfly has done a blog post on Golden Spiral Media asking about your favorite Gotham villains. Mm. So check out her blog post and cast your vote.
I think I did.
Yes, I have cast my vote.
I don't remember who it was I said, because it depended on the day.
Yeah.
It always depends on the day for me. I think the Joker is overall my favorite Gotham villain.
Yeah.
But it really does depend on the day.
I think I put none of the above because of some of the people that weren't on the list.
Mm.
But yes, so check that out.
You know, Enigma is becoming steadily one of my favorites as well.
Oh yeah.
So.
So Justina is great. She does a lot of the great blog posts that you see on the site that talk about TV, talk about the shows that are on Golden Spiral Media and some that, you know, aren't, you know, TV shows that aren't covered. But she regularly leaves feedback, and she's great. We're happy to have her as a part of the network. And check out the post and give your vote.
That's right. And if you go on the Made of Steel Facebook page, you can see her in her Supergirl t-shirt.
That's right.
She's so cute. I love that. We would like to put together a little montage with everyone in their shirts. We might have to do that at some point. So, okay. So that, it sounds like we're done for this week. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with the next episode. And we will be talking about Asriel.
That's right.
Whatever else comes with that episode. So we'll talk to you then.
All right.